Good morning and good evening to everyone, and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. Excited to see all of you here today. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined to facilitate today by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is on our board, and also Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. And Judy Kimmel is my co-board chair, and she's also here today. So it's good to see you, Judy. The Peace Alliance empowers civic action toward a culture of peace. That is our mission and vision. And in doing so with these Hope Story Circles, we're bringing together people to share emerging stories during this uncertain and evolving time. And our guest today, I'm very excited to introduce, her name is Linda Curtis. Good morning, Linda. It's good to see you. Can you unmute yourself?
Good morning. Nice to be with everyone.
It's nice to see you. Linda, I know you're going to tell your story, and that's a lot sort of your history as well, but just real briefly, would you like to tell people who you are, where you are, and what you do?
I am right now in the San Francisco Bay Area, where it's nice and toasty, and I am an author, I'm an executive consultant, and I also teach mindfulness and emotional intelligence as leadership skills.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I know you're going to tell us something about your book, which is part of your story. Is there anything else about what you do that you think is relevant to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circles?
Yes, because, and we're going to talk about it today, a process that I developed for honorable closure and skillful endings. I think what's rich about what we're going to do is talk at this intersection of endings and beginnings. And a lot of my work in the world is how to skill up in the area of endings so that we can then move newly into the future and not be encumbered by the past. And certainly we're at a big inflection point right now with lots of things ending and lots of things beginning.
Yes, definitely. Wonderful. Well, welcome. We're just so excited and delighted to have you here join us today. Yelena, would you like to lead a quick meditation before we get into Linda's story? Calm everybody down and bring everybody in.
Thank you, Terry. Yes. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. I am just inviting you all to find a way to settle into your body. That might be a way to sit or a way to stand. Whatever feels needed in this moment for you. And just allowing body to relax and a mind to kind of settle, that kind of snow globe feeling when we shake it and allow all of these sparkles to kind of settle at the bottom. And perhaps closing our eyes or gazing down and inviting ease, softness. And the invitation is to really bring attention, gather your attention to the sensation of breathing and perhaps noticing where do you feel your breath the most at this time. Sometimes for us it is at the tip of the nostrils. We've really feel that notion of beginning of the breath and ending of the breath. Or maybe you might need to put your hand on your chest and follow your breath with your hand. So maybe for the next few moments, can we just observe and touch our breath beginning, middle, and end. Noticing where your breath enters the body. Find the space between inhalation and exhalation. Where your breath exits and ends from your body. Thank you. this kind of way, we can each feel and touch into the beginning and endings, each breath as it comes in and leaves. Settling us into the present. And with that, I invite Linda to her story of beginnings and endings. Thank you.
You need to unmute yourself, Linda.
That was lovely. Thank you, Helena. Well, just a lot of gratitude for the opportunity to be with everybody this morning and have all these inquiries about where we are in the stream of time collectively and individually. So a bit of my story is that I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and I was an unquestioning true believer. I started knocking on doors and when I was 9 years old, and I did that all the way through into my early 30s. And then I had a experience actually on the doorstep of a coworker that opened me up. We all have those aha moments when we maybe hear ourselves for the first time or have a new understanding. And that moment brought me to a beginning of a journey of questioning my religion, realizing it no longer was right for me, and breaking away from that religion. And I actually write about this in a memoir that I published a couple years ago called Shunned: How I Lost My Religion and Found Myself. And it's the story of actually being shunned by everyone in my community, including all members of my immediate family. And that shunning began when I left in the mid-90s, and it's been pretty continuous since then. So it's a very real and harsh experience, as you can imagine. And you know, it's a big deal to leave a religion and be shunned. So I had the opportunity then to question all of my beliefs. Went through a really interesting process of questioning everything, because it was all up for grabs. And I know the power of beliefs and the impact they have on us and on our actions and on other people. So having the opportunity to remake my life and kind of put together a very, what I would say, eclectic spirituality, I understand I do it all again, despite the pain and heartache of losing my family, because I know the truth of being true to one's own, to oneself, to one's own beliefs, even if that means disappointing people that we love, as I did, certainly disappointed many people who cared about me. But we must press forward and find our own unique paths. And I've really had a wonderful journey and very rich life of heart and meaning. And the other thing I want to share with you is that, and so that was a major ending, right? To end a religion, end a community affiliation, like that. And then the other big inflection point in my life was when my husband passed away. So 10 years ago, I lost my husband to a very quick illness. And that too was a very large ending. And those two experiences allowed me to reflect, as I was grieving that loss, of how important it is that we end well. You know, that impermanence is, it's always with us. Life is really quite fragile. And the importance of ending well, because everything is going to end. And looking at our culture, I noticed that we have this habit energy of rushing. We rush through, you know, we rush through everything to get to the next thing, and it's kind of in us. That's why it's so lovely to have the meditative practices that we just shared so that we can take a pause. And so what I ultimately did was inspired to create a process for honorable closure and skillful ending, which is a way of inquiry, making an inquiry into what is ending, to honor it, to be sure that we process the endings and our emotions about it, to acknowledge what might be poignant about a loss, and also acknowledge what's beginning. So out of that just came this passion for really appreciating that intersection, that place where we can be candid about what's ending and also what's beginning. And I think this is really important because it allows us to have this come from a place of being present in the moment to what's new and next and showing up versus being caught up and having energy go to what has passed. So a lot of my work now is with people in very large life transitions, whether it's career or sometimes personal losses or challenges. And I really appreciate that if we are go mindfully into the future with eyes open, that we can then be of service, of great service to those around us. So I consider myself an expert in endings large and small because I'm in those conversations all the time. And so there's a way of looking at it, which is us individually and what's ending in our lives and what we choose to have end, what needs to end, what's kind of run its course, and then also what we might choose newly in the future. And when we look at the time we're living in, there's a way that we could look at this individually, but then maybe in our community, but then also in the broader social world, the global family that we are in. And I think, you know, one of the things we're all being called to do is name and notice what is ending, what's old, what needs to end, and then also choosing a way to go forward that can be transformative and fresh and new. So I think I'll kind of stop there, but that might be one place to pause.
Thank you. Yeah, that's so powerful. Liz, do you want to have a conversation about that before we get into the breakouts?
Yeah, I really would. Linda, I think when we spoke last night, what was so powerful for me, and I love the way Yelena put this in together, is I love the metaphor, Yelena, that you brought in. It was both literal, physical, and also symbolic of one breath ending and leading right into the next, right? One breath ending. We don't take the time to name that often. And that's such a natural cycle. And I was wondering, Linda, if you could just tell us a little more about that idea of actively kind of choosing how we can move forward in this moment.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. The idea of hospicing what's old is something that's very alive for me. You know, if we've ever sat at the bedside of a beloved family member and held their hand in hospice, there's this way of acknowledging what is so, not living with delusion, but appreciating that we are at the end and hospicing a life, holding someone's hand, breathing in, breathing out, and just acknowledging that something is ending. And how do we hold that hand and allow that without resistance, acknowledging our emotions, our sadness, our grief, whatever the full family of emotions are about what is ending and what we're losing. And I think there's a way we can do that now. How do we hospice? It's not the question for me to answer, but to pose the question, how is it that we hold the hand and hospice what needs to end now? And actually naming it and declaring it's time. It's enough of this or enough of that. That's what comes to mind, Liz.
Yeah, you shared a powerful thought yesterday that I've been holding. When I'm just thinking, because the images you gave yesterday were both hospicing the old moment, right? Letting that naturally, and then midwifing.
Yes.
The next moment, which I thought are two really powerful. And one of the ideas you spoke about, and I wondered if you could just share that, was the idea of telling your story three times.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little about that idea? I found that a really powerful idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one thing about, if you're hospicing or midwifing, it's interesting, those are both things that happen at the beginning and the end. And also I want to point out, we're not alone if we're hospicing and midwifing. That suggests there's the work that's done individually, but also in community. So just want to name that. And then one of my teachers shared, who was a social anthropologist and cultural anthropologist, shared something with me I'd never known before, which is that here in America, indigenous cultures have a guideline or a principle, if you will, for sharing our sad stories. So we all have distress, we all have sadness, we all have loss. And the principle of those communities is that you share your sad story, but no more than and no less than three times. Now, I'm not stating that three times is the rule. I just suggest we look at the principle behind that. So the principle of sharing your story is that, of course, we have sad things that need to be shared, and that they can be expressed, and that's important. It also allows us, in the telling of a sad or distressed story, our connection to common humanity, that all people experience these things. And then to allow somebody who's listening to us to listen as a way of being of service to us. And at the same time, allowing them to experience their common humanity. So to share a sad story three times is very good, but there's a point we're going over that, we're reactivating our stories. And what we may want to do instead is put feet to our prayers and find ways to move forward into the future. So I think it's in my work with closure and people in transitions, they want to tell their stories, and we need to encourage that. Some people think, why bother? What's done is done. I don't need to talk about that. I need to move on. So there's this balance that's suggested by this. And we can look at that for ourselves individually, but also culturally, things need to be named. They need to be pointed out. And the feelings associated with that need to be addressed, whether that's anger, shame, whatever they might be, collectively and individually. And then as we process those things, then how do we move forward and put feet to our prayers?
That's so beautiful. Yelena, did you have anything you wanted to add in terms of that story of how we might transition from endings to beginnings?
Thank you, Liz. No, I just want to sit with this sense of, sharing our stories, and can we, now that we heard this, can we go into a group and really begin to start a share around an inquiry? So if Terry, if you're okay, I would love to do that part.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So what's the inquiry?
So as when we talked yesterday, and what is coming up for me right now is, these are some of the reflections to consider. Again, those are considerations, but in maybe telling in your life, telling something, telling about something that ended well, and what were the qualities that allowed for that? One was something that ended and that brought that new beginning, and really paying attention to the qualities that allowed for that ending and that brought that new beginning. So as you approach that, I would suggest when we go into the breakout rooms to start from that beginning of you know, landing in a new space and taking in, taking the people in and listening with a heart, listening to their story deeply, and then speaking from your experience, just sharing that story, where something ended well and what are the qualities that allowed for that, and trusting that you will know what to say. Again, like always, keeping confidentiality, keeping the story to the story, content within the group, but then what were your insights from the story when we come back to the larger group? And if you're not poised to share, just offering a gift of listening. And as one story ends in your group, just give it some of that honorable closure that Linda was talking about. Just kind of sit with it for a moment and let it sink it in before you begin a new story. So that's the invitation.
Wonderful. All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. It's nice to see your faces again. I hope that that was a rich time that you were able to share. Who would like to share what came out of the breakout rooms? What's alive for you right now? Feel free to unmute yourself and share.
Yes, so, hi.
Hi, hello.
Hi. What came to me, our stories, the details of our stories were very, very different. However, there were these common threads, and I think that they could be kind of summed up in like four things, that that there was courage in the face of crisis, however that might manifest, that that we could draw on inner strength and resourcefulness, sometimes not having known that we had that within us, that we trusted our inner knowing, and that we had intention and could carry through, you know, with the action that was needed because of that trust, and then we could act on the intention.
Wow. Beautiful.
And if I could just say something, Terry, I love that courage, inner drawing on inner trusted. Because once we can identify those qualities that have helped us in the past, those are the very same ones we could say, what are we facing right now? What are the challenges and how do those apply to the current ending and beginnings? And so it builds. That's it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Who else would like to share? What's alive for you? What's bubbling up in you right now? Kate, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, good morning, everybody. As always, thank you. Thank you for the space today. Whew, my group was alive. We were getting into some good stuff. It was really wonderful conversations. The stories that were shared were really wonderful, but on top of the story that I had given to the group, one of the through lines that I picked up on from the beginning of this morning's lecture was that really in both of these, you know, the balance in both of these energies, whether it's the hospice energy or it's the midwife energy, right? In both of these cases, compassion is needed and to show up properly in both of these spaces. And it allowed me to reflect on my own work that I'm doing right now in the larger frame of the world right now, because I do think that we are encountering the death of one energy. You know, we're having these death rattles of a very toxic energy right now. And I referred back to one of the first protests that I went back to in 2016, where the conversation was, this is not a moment. We are not here to mourn a loss. We are here to support a birth. And I can't remember the speaker because she did a wonderful job, but it reframed my entire positioning on how I am approaching the world right now, and that we are being called to allow for one death, to sit and be present for a birth. And in both of those cases, I have to personally show up with compassion which is really hard sometimes, but that's the work that I'm doing, to show up with compassion for both of those energies, to usher them into their rightful places. Mm. And my group rocked. Everybody did a great job. Thank you, guys.
Linda, I think you're speaking, but you're on mute.
Just appreciating that reflection. That's really powerful. And you go, girl. That's right. And compassion, you know, one of the things about compassion comes down to how can I be of service? Like what would be useful and would be skillful? And I know there are people who have referenced Buddhism. Just recently, I became aware of Tara and how Tara actually has, I think it's 21 different expressions of compassion. And I never knew that before. You always think of compassion as, oh, very loving and kind, and it is, and it can be. And there are times when it requires fierceness and, you know, cutting through the BS. And that requires discernment, and it requires wisdom and pausing. But yes, compassion plays a huge role, and it can look many different ways and needs to look many different ways right now in this time that we find ourselves.
Thank you for that. Well, yeah.
Joel, would you like to share?
You can unmute yourself.
You know, compassion, we were talking about it in our group. It was extraordinary, as Kathy said. It was very, very, I mean, as Kate said, it was really exciting. But I read a study, which I think goes along with compassion, is empathy. And that they've found that when people have empathy for another, the other person's experience of being accepting themselves and feeling empathetic themselves happen. And it even goes to the point where the brain changes the structure for that to happen. So it's, I think in compassion and empathy sort of go hand in hand. It sort of could be the same thing, but in a different way. So that was interesting when we got to talking about that and what Linda said. So that's my share. It was great.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Right. Well, if not, I will begin.
I have something.
Oh, good.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. So my group was really beautiful. And what I got from that was the miracle of life and trusting the life force and following where it leads us. So thank you to my group.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Lois, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, thank you. One last thing. I was, from the beginning when Linda was first speaking and using hospice as a verb, it's, in my experience, it's usually used as a noun. And so thinking about using it as a verb just added this whole other dimension to it. And I'm definitely going to be including that in my vocabulary. And also thinking about midwifery, I have friends who are midwives who specialize not only at the beginnings of life, but also at the ends too. You know, so they are there for both. And I think, you know, what a gift to be able to be present with others at both of those times, you know, be present for them at both of those times. So that's in a way combining hospicing and midwifering. Midwifering, yeah, I guess that's a verb. So thank you.
Yeah. Anna?
Yeah, thank you. I was gifted with the presence of Linda and one of your wonderful board members, Geraldine, in my breakout. And my struggle is with people who aren't willing to accept that there is an ending now. Those who quote unquote want normal yet again back, still all of the above. And Yelena, thank you for your breathing exercise, because in my personal practice, I'm always trying to be sensitive to the space that's between the in and the out, and that gap, that tender presence of peace, bless everyone's hearts, in the middle between the inhale and the exhale. And the struggle that I'm having is with people who aren't willing to accept that we are at a time of ending, whether it's death and then birthing. They don't want to be in transition. And so what Linda, thank you again, gave me, I'm a visual learner, as a metaphor is, even though I'm retired, I've still got my briefcase up by my computer, and it's full of all kinds of things and projects I want to do. She said, just add into your briefcase, you know, the people who aren't willing to go there yet, and put them in your briefcase, set it down, and keep breathing. So thank you, Linda. And if y'all have people like that who need to be just gently, carefully put in a briefcase for a while, we can all do that too.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
Did I represent that right, Linda?
Absolutely. And we all have people in our worlds that aren't ready to accept. And you know, this is a point of compassion and empathy, as Joel brought up, to understand, well, that's pretty understandable. You know, it's a lot of change right now. And it takes a lot of depth and maturity to ride these crazy waves. You know, nobody's having an easy time of it right now. And we just gotta love the people that are holding on so tightly, because we understand it, but we don't have to be that way. We can just keep going, and we'll come back to them. You know, we'll keep coming, cycling by, maybe, and inviting them along. But having come from a very strict fundamentalist religion where people stick to their guns and there's a rigidity, nothing to be done about that. Nothing to be done about that for us anyway. We can just love them anyway and keep moving forward in collaboration with the people that are ready to move, that are willing. Mm.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to put a few links into the chat. One is for the Peace Alliance website. The second one is to the podcasts, Peace on our podcast channel. All of these calls are recorded in our podcast channel. You can go back and listen to ones we've had in the past and share this one with your friends. There's also a link to the Blueprint for Peace. That's an action that we're encouraging our network to take at this time. With one single click, you can encourage all of your elected officials, both federal and on a state level, to support policy that reflects the five cornerstones of peace. And also, we have a donation link. We are a nonprofit, and we would accept any donation, large or small. Thank you so much. So thank you, Linda, so much for being a part of our day today. And Liz, I'll let you close.
Yeah. There was a story that came up for me that I'd like to share briefly. It was a true story my dad used to tell in his childhood. My father was one of six children. And he told a story about how his older brother taught him how to play the game Monopoly. And I don't know if you guys know the game Monopoly. Maybe most of you do. But his brother taught him the short version of the game. And in the short version of the game, you shuffle all the properties, you hand them out two to each person, and then you start the game. And the way my father told the story was, when he was little, his brother, his older brother, used to deal himself Boardwalk and Park Place every time he played. And he dealt my father Baltic and Mediterranean. And my father lost every game of Monopoly, and he thought he was just bad at the game. And he used to laugh at it. And then, but as I started to think about it, I said, you know, at some point my dad realized he was being cheated. And he had, maybe, to my mind, I can picture three different choices. He could throw the board in the air and say, I'm not playing anymore. Mm-hmm. Or he could say, when it's my turn to deal, I'm going to deal you a bad hand. Or he could say, why don't we just agree to move forward with a fair set of rules? And I think what's feeling real for us the last couple of decades, but especially in this last year, it feels like we threw the board in the air, right? It feels like we were playing a game and the board got thrown in the air and it created this chaos and we don't know where to go. But when I was thinking about chaos early in the call, I was thinking that in the chaos is also the field of infinite possibilities. And in this moment that looks like chaos, that looks so unsettled, we get to pick the path forward, right? We get to say, let's make the fair set of rules. And what I loved about Linda's work is starting with the very personal, right? She made these choices, and we always make these choices in our life. But what's exciting to me as we go week by week in this calls is how possible it is for us to choose the path together. How possible it is to tell the story. And the emerging stories. So what I thought I wanted to leave, we often end the calls with three breaths, and Yelena started with really a beautiful practice. So I'd like to start with one breath for just the story, whether in our personal lives or our collective life that we're letting go of. If we could just breathe once deeply together. One for the pause where we are in this moment, if we could take a breath in this moment together. One for the emerging story that we're getting ready to tell together. And I decided to add, with great empathy and compassion for Anna's friends who aren't with us, if we could all take one deep breath together for the people who aren't there yet, but we want to breathe for them and breathe them into our story and into our lives. Ready? So if we all go forward in the week, kind of thinking about the field of all possibilities, and while the game is in the air and all the pieces are scattered in front of us, let's kind of pick our way through the story and what that fairer, more beautiful story for all of us might look like. Thank you, everybody. I want to thank especially Linda. Lovely. And my beautiful companions every week, Yelena and Terry, for holding the space so beautifully.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you
so much. Feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.